This morning's lesson, we're talking about salt. And salt in the ancient world was something which was very, very important. And so when Jesus looked at his apostles and looked at the very first crowd which he was talking to in the Sermon on the Mount, right after he finished the Beatitudes, one of the first things he said there in verse 13 is, "You are the salt of the earth." But if salt loses its saltiness, what's it good for but to be thrown out? Now, in the ancient world, salt was hugely, hugely important. And in fact, the Latin word for salt was salaris, and the Roman soldiers oftentimes would be paid a salarium. In other words, they would be paid a certain block of salt each month that they worked, because salt was a currency no matter where you were, no matter how far from the empire or what region of the empire you're in, salt was a currency which could be used. And so that's the way we get the term today, is a person worth his salt or not. Also, if you take the word salarium and bring it into our English, it's where we get the word salary. Hopefully, if you have a job, you get paid a salary. And that looks back to the ancient days of where people would be paid salt as they would earn their work going through. And so what Jesus is saying as we open up in our lesson today is, you're valuable. You're important. You are something that the world has to have. And as you and I think about being salt today, and as you and I think about the idea of the importance of a Christian, I want us to notice how we have to be what God wants us to be. If we don't fulfill God's purpose, if we don't fulfill God's plan, if the church is not what God has designed and organized it to be, it's worthless. And it's not good for anything but to be thrown out. And so what is it when we talk about the idea of you are the salt of the earth? Let's look at each one of the letters of this word, and I think it'll explain pretty well what it is Jesus is trying to get across. When we look at the idea of salt, let's start with the letter S. And S is what we usually think of when we think about salt, because it refers to the seasoning. We oftentimes love to have salt in our food, at least until the doctor tells us you're not allowed to do that anymore. As a matter of fact, the great dieting verse of the Bible, Job chapter 6 and verse 6. Job here in this passage is talking to Eliphaz, and he says, "Can a man eat bland food without salt?" And it's a rhetorical question of saying no. And a lot of those who are under a doctor's restrictions agree and say, "Amen, we got to have our salt." Well, think of the ancient world, what it was like. Back in those days, you couldn't go to McDonald's, you couldn't go to Dairy Queen, you couldn't go to, see what else is in Benton, Taco John. And you couldn't go to a lot of these places. Every day, you had goat and barley bread. On Monday, you would have goat and barley bread. On Tuesday, you would have barley bread and goat. Wednesday, you'd have goat and barley bread. It'd be pretty much the same thing every single day. And so what made life livable in many ways, speaking of the diet, would be how you would season the food. In different ways in which your wife or the person who was cooking the food knew how to prepare it in just the right way. And what Jesus is saying here is, we are the salt of the earth. Christians are what makes this world be reasonable. Christians are what makes this world be what it ought to be. And so as you and I think about this passage, we see the importance of us seasoning the world and helping the world grow. Look across, if you will, at all the great architecture that we see in the world. When you go over to Europe, if you had an opportunity to travel down there, or you go through Latin America, you see many of the churches and the cathedrals. You see much of Vatican City over in Italy and places such as that. And while those who built those things had many different ideas and beliefs and reasons for putting that together, we see the greatest architecture in this world is created because of people's relationship to Christianity. When we look at the sciences between Sir Isaac Newton and other folks, we see much of their work and much of the reason why they did the things which they did, at least before the postmodern movement, was because of a relationship that they had with Christianity. When you and I look at the field of medicine, we see the field of medicine grew quickly and greatly because of Christians. As plagues would go through the Roman Empire and Rome would be scavenged by bubonic plague and many of the other black plague through Europe, it was the Christians which stayed back and made life tolerable because their idea of love and their idea of mercy and grace they would help care for those who are hurting, and they allowed the death toll to stay a little bit lower than it would have been. When you and I look at the idea of benevolence, we see the effect which Christianity has. Atheist groups do not give in benevolence, but churches do. People who don't believe in God very rarely are very much as far as giving to other folks and helping other folks. But people who put God first, they do give of their means. They do show mercy to the poor. They do show love to those who are hurting. And so you see, Jesus is saying, we're salt because we are what seasons the world. And so the question we look at as we think about the idea of seasoning is, how do you and I season our culture? What is it about you and I that we can do to make this world be a better place? Well, first of all, give generously. Now, we're not just talking about money when we talk about giving. We're talking about giving your time. I'm talking about giving your heart. I'm talking about giving yourself. Whether it's going and visiting those who are in the hospital. Whether it's going and seeing or sending a card or a phone call to those who are shut in. Whether it's spending time with those who are grieving. Whether it's helping those who are hurt. We need to give of ourselves generously. And as we do that, we season the world and we help this world be what it needs to be. You see, we season the world when we forgive. This world does not forgive. Most people in the world have a ledger, and anytime somebody does wrong to them, they try to get them back as soon as they can. Every time somebody gives a slight, they're like, okay, what am I going to do to try to get them back? That's not God's way. We are to forgive as Christ has forgiven us.